Morning, Sunday morning. He is risen. He is risen indeed. You know, before there could be a resurrection, there had to be a crucifixion on an old wooden cross. And before the cross, there had to be a birth. And before the birth, there was an empty womb from the Virgin Mary to the empty tomb. This song sings about his birth, his death, and his resurrection.
Unto us a child is born, on one Christmas morn. Wonderful Counselor, mighty God is He. Everlasting Father, He is my Prince of Peace. Thank you, baby Jesus, that you born to die for me. Away in a manger He was born on one Christmas morn. But then one day when He grew up, His body became torn. The nails in His hands, the spear in His side. Yes, my Lord was crucified. Thank you, baby Jesus, that you were born for me. And unto us a child is born on one Christmas morn. Wonderful Counselor, mighty God is He. Everlasting Father, He is my Prince of Peace. Thank you, baby Jesus, you were born to die for me.
The best part.
But then one day He arose from the grave. The earth did quake when the stone rolled away. Come see the place where the Lord did lay. He arose from the dead, just like He said. 'Cause hallelujah, He's risen again. And unto us a child is born on one Christmas morn. Wonderful and Counselor, mighty God is He. Everlasting Father, He is my Prince of Peace. Thank you, baby Jesus, you were born just to die, but arose for me. Thank you, baby Jesus, you were born just to die, but arose for me.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you all here this morning. Do we have any visitors here for the very first time? Anyone? There's a few. There's a couple here. Three or four. One here. One over here. Welcome. We just want to welcome you on behalf of the pastor. If you didn't receive a small piece of paper, and fill it out, please. You're not going to go on a mailing list. We just want to know how you found out about First Baptist Church, the lighthouse on the square, where whosoever you are welcome here. We welcome one and all, and it's so great to see you all. Ushers, if you come forward, we'll take up today's tithes and offerings. You know, resurrection means to rise again. And as a Christian, we have to die, and we have to rise again anew. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for sending your Son to die on that cross, Lord, and for raising him up again so that, Lord, one day we will all be together again in heaven. We thank you. Lord, as we give to you what is yours, bless it and use it for thy glory, we ask in your name. Amen. If you take out your bulletins, we'll go through the weekly announcements. I've got a couple of other announcements, and we'll get that done. On Tuesday evening from 6 to 7 in the sanctuary is our prayer service, and you're all invited. On Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. is our Bible study downstairs in the fellowship hall with Pastor Jeff. And on Friday afternoons at 1 p.m. is our Women of Worth, and they are also downstairs in the fellowship hall. Our food pantry is in need of spaghetti sauce, canned chicken, and hamburger helper meals. So if you can help with that, it will be used for God's glory. Amen. I have just a couple more announcements. First Baptist Church of Carthage. Our brother Gary's son goes there. And they're doing a North Country Music Festival July 13th at 3 p.m. And they're going to have fireworks after and the whole works. And they've got a lot of Christian groups coming to sing and tell about the Lord. So this will be posted in the back, and we'll get a bigger thing so everyone can see it. The second one here is from our Pastor George Gray, who is in River of Life Church out in Copenhagen. And they wanted us to know that an opportunity is coming up. In the coming weeks, we will be hosting Striving for Eternity Ministries in the spring conference. That's April 12th and 13th. There will be flyers. It's free of charge to anyone that wants to go. That's River of Life. You go through Copenhagen. It's just on the outskirts of Copenhagen. And with our last announcement, Sister Christy. And her assistant.
All right, good morning, everybody. I wanted to expand on an announcement that's in the bulletin here about giving Dunkin' Donuts cards to our police officers this weekend. As we know, this weekend is going to be crazy town. And so our police officers are going to be under a lot of additional pressure and stress, and they're going to have to deal with a lot of different things. And I was talking to an officer recently, and he mentioned that a lot of times on patrol, our officers don't have a lot of time to go get something to eat because they're so busy. So in partnership with New Hope Baptist Church here in Watertown, I'm going to be asking you, no obligation, of course, if you would like to donate Dunkin' Donut gift cards or Tim Hortons or any kind of other fast food gift card for our officers, if you would bring those to the church by Thursday, I'll go ahead and take them over to the station on Friday. They would also, I'm sure, appreciate kind of any prepackaged like snacks or donuts or cookies or muffins or something that I could drop off the station. They can just grab as they go out the door, like apples or the little mini oranges, that type of stuff. Just something they can take with them so they have them in their vehicle during the day when they need them. And it's just a way to show our support and to bless them and let them know that we appreciate what they do for us. And I know that they would greatly, greatly appreciate that. So if you want to do that, my name is number in the bulletin. I'll come to you. If you want me to collect the donations during the week, I can also get on Fort Drum if that's going to be, you know, if I need to go get them there. But anyways, this is just a way to show our support and bless our local officers. So thank you.
And with that, Pastor Jeff.
Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord, church. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. And we're going to be rejoice and be glad. You know, and this is a special day to be glad and rejoice because this is Resurrection Sunday. You know, there's a thing that we do every year, and I say he is risen, and you say he is risen indeed. So whenever you hear me say he is risen, you reply, he is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. We need to get excited about that. Because if he didn't rise, where would we be? Where would we be? Our faith would be in vain. So he is risen. I am so overjoyed that he is risen. And I want to say this here. You know, I want to thank all of you for praying for my dad. My dad is home from the hospital. Praise the Lord. We brought him home Thursday. But don't stop praying because we took my mom yesterday. You know, and God is in control. He's in control. Whatever happens in our life, God is in control. And that's what I am living on. You know, because when your father and your mother are going through these health problems, the way that they're going through, you know, and they up there in years, they in the 90. But still, you know what I mean? As mom and dad. So don't stop praying. Thank you for praying for dad. He's home. But, you know, mom needs prayer also. And I just want to say, I want to thank my brother. You know, he moved in over there with my mom and dad. And he's been taking care of them. And I'm so thankful for you, Phil. I mean that. Amen. You know, it's a wonderful thing when family steps up. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. You know, and I was talking to mom at the hospital yesterday, and she said, I used to change y'all. But anyway, praise the Lord. I'm going to leave that alone. Anyway, this is the day the Lord. You know, and I'm looking over here at Brother Rich. Brother Rich, don't you know you got three generations sitting over here in church with you? Three generations of Frezzos. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for y'all. I don't know what to do. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it'd be great if y'all would hear every Sunday. Don't be looking at your husband. His granddaughter looked at her husband. Yeah. Anyway, praise the Lord. It's so good to see everybody. Of course, good to see you too. It's been a long time. You know, we're glad to have you. And all the rest of you too. All the rest of you. And Boots got her sister here from California. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome her here. Praise the Lord. Might not be California, but somewhere. And we're glad that you're here. And all the rest of you. Oh, there's the Randalls up there. Ray Randall and all the kids. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. Yes. Yes, yes. But anyway, this is Resurrection Sunday. And so we're going to have communion today. And usually we have the first Sunday of the month. But, you know, we feel that on this Resurrection Day, we're going to honor God by having communion today. And communion is we are celebrating, you know, the Last Supper of Jesus Christ. Communion means communing with God. And we should be communing with God every day. Every day. But we do it once a month on the first Sunday. But we're going to do it today. And we're going to do it next week, too. And we might do it week after that, too. We might just see, you know, I do communion every day myself personally. That's just my own personal conviction. I'm not putting that on anybody else, you know, because I want to remember Jesus every day. You know why? Because he remembers me and he remembers you. So we're going to do that today. So you guys come and you don't have to get up. We're going to bring it to you like we did the last time. So if you guys, I don't know how y'all did it before, but I'll do that. Yeah. Ushers, come forth and we're going to pass out communion to everybody. And this is what I want to say to you. Hold it. When you get your communion, hold on to it, because we want to partake of the communion together as a family. Because we are family. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are family. Amen. So we're going to partake of communion here today. So as they pass it out, I'm going to ask you to just hold on to it, and then we'll partake it as a family. Father, we come before you today, giving you all the honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord, for waking us up another day. And for those who are in the family of God, we thank you for waking us up in our right mind. So many times you woke us up before Christ, we wasn't in our right mind. But now we know that you have risen, and he's risen indeed. So, Lord, we thank you for that. So, Lord, as we partake of this, we ask blessings upon each and every person. In Jesus' name, amen. And if somebody needs, what is it? Gluten-free. Gluten-free. We got a gluten-free right here also. Just raise your hand if you need a gluten-free. Praise the Lord. All right, there's one right there. Jesus. Did everybody receive communion who was going to be partaking of it? All right, the sound booth. If somebody could take it up to the sound booth, please. You know, Jesus said that as often as you do this, remember me. And as I say, you know, we need to remember Jesus every day. While we were yet sinners, do you know that he died for us? Before we were even thought of, he died for the sins that we have committed. So, as we partake of this, did you get yours, John? Bring. Yeah. Okay. As we partake of this, he said that the bread represents his body, which was broken for us. He was beaten beyond recognition. The Bible says that he didn't even look like he was a human being. He did that for you and I. Didn't have to. Now, remember that he was God. He didn't have to do it, but he did it because of the love that he had. He did it because there was a price that had to be paid. And he was the only one who could pay the price. There's nothing that we could ever do. No works, no money, nothing that we could ever do to pay that price for salvation, for forgiveness of sins. So as we partake of the bread, the body. Remember for all the things that you have done that he has forgiven you for. So let us partake of the bread as a family and let us give thanks for the forgiveness of sin. Father, we thank you. We thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but you sent God the Son to pay that price for us. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the sacrifice and the love. He said that there had to be blood shed. A lot of churches don't even use the word blood, but we do. Because there's nothing but the blood of Jesus can take away our sin. Nothing. So he shed his blood for our sins. There had to be blood shed. And thank God. And you know, the worst part was not him being beat. The worst part was not him being spit on and despised and pulling his beard out and putting a crown of thorns on his head. That wasn't the worst part of it. The worst part was when God had to turn his back. Because God could not look upon sin, even though that was his Son. Even though that was part of the Godhead, he could not look upon sin. And the sin that was on Jesus was our sins. How good is that? So let us partake of the cup, which represents the new covenant of grace together. Father, we thank you for the blood. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the blood. We thank you for the sacrifice, for the commitment that Jesus Christ paid for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. If you take your cups and just pass them to the side there, and we'll put them in the little cup holders, and we'll pick them up here in a little bit after church. Thank you. It is so good to see people that I haven't seen in a long time. You know, praise the Lord. And for those of you who are here for the first time, excuse me for sitting, but I got a new knee here several months ago. So I still have to try to be, notice I said try, to be obedient to what the doctor's telling me to do to stay off of it, you know, as much as I can. But, you know, I really don't have the luxury to do that, but that's why I'm sitting down here today. You know, I'll be glad when I'm able to stand because I love to stand and preach the word because some of y'all know I get a little excited sometimes. And there's been times when I got excited on this stool, almost tipped over. So I got to be careful about not tipping over. But anyway, it is so good to be in the house of the Lord with the people of the Lord to hear the word of the Lord. Sunday school, kids. Almost forgot. Sunday school. And I'm so thankful for our children. I'm so thankful that our children are so eager to go and learn about Jesus. And I'm so thankful for those who are volunteering to teach our children, to invest in our children, because that's what it is. It's an investment. We're investing into our future, because if we don't invest the things of them, of God, the world will. Trust me with that. The world will. You know, and even our public school system will, which is not godly. But if we invest in our children, that they will know the truth. That when they go to school and they hear these untruths, they can say, no, that ain't true. My Sunday school teacher told me we don't come from no monkeys. Wasn't no Big Bang Theory. Wasn't no Big Bang Theory. It was God who created us. Praise the Lord. And Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. I love it when our kids go to school and tell the teachers that. But praise the Lord, we need to train up our children in the way that they should go. When they get old, they would not depart from it. For those of you who are first time here, especially our military, we thank you. Matter of fact, if you're military, ex-military or whatever, I'm going to ask you to stand so we can honor you. All military. Thank you. Thank you. We thank you for your service and your commitment. I mean that. Thank you so very much. And, you know, we have a military ministry here. And so if we want to get a hold of you, if you're first time here, get a hold of our sister back. Raise your hand, huh? She's the one who's in head of that. We want to get your information, because when you get deployed, we're going to send you real good stuff. You know, we're going to send you real good stuff when you get deployed. And then we got stuff that goes on throughout the time while you're here also, you and your family also. So we want to welcome. And for those of you who have never been here before, I just want to say this here to you. You're welcome. We're the Lighthouse on the Square. We're the Whosoever Church. And what that means is whosoever you are, you're welcome. I don't care who you are, where you come from, what you look like, what your background is, the issues that you have, the struggles that you have, you're welcome. Because we all here have issues. We all here have struggles. Notice I say we now. And I always tell our people here, don't make me your necessary. I'm a man just like everybody else, you know. Just because I'm the pastor don't mean that I have more access to God than you do. You have just as much access to God as I do. Amen? If you are believing the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't lift me up. Don't put me on no pedestal. You know, because you lift up Jesus Christ. And that's what we do here. We preach Jesus Christ, period. We don't add nothing to it. We don't take nothing away from it. And always, 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 whenever I'm preaching or teaching or anybody else, make sure that we're following the word of God. And so for you to do that, you need to get in the scriptures too. You know, because a lot of times, a lot of people say, well, you know, you read it, Pastor. No, 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 you need to read it too. Make sure that what we're doing is lining up with the word of God. Amen? Because we're going to be held accountable for this, a higher standard for those of us who are in leadership. So we need you to hold us accountable. That's what I'm saying to you. And trust me, some of our people do. And I'm thankful for that, you know, because I'm not always right. You know, as I say, you know, I have issues and I have struggles like everybody else. But we love Jesus here, and we're going to love you regardless of who you are. And I mean that regardless of, you know, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, male, female, old, young, you know, rich, poor, gay, we're going to love you. Trans, we're going to love you. But we're going to tell you the truth. You hear what I'm saying? If you come in here, you're going to hear the truth. And a lot of times the truth will step on your toes. Does me a lot of times. A lot of times I say, God, you could have told me that upstairs. Have me here in front of all these people. But we want, you know, but what we want to do, we want to bring the truth to you. So in the last breath that you take, you can hear these good words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. It's not about how we start. It's about how we finish. And so that's why we preach and teach Jesus Christ, period. You know, there's so many times, you know, that the love of, because God loves us. He loves us all. But he might not love the way that we do stuff. That's like our kids. We love our kids, don't we? But sometimes we don't like some of the things that they do, Miranda. Praise the Lord. I remember Miranda, she was a little girl, and she was a good little girl. But sometimes. And you too, Jill. That's a mama. But anyway, if we turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew, before we turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew, we're going to pray. So I'm going to ask you to take a posture of reverence with us because we believe in the power of prayer. We're a God-fearing church. And what that means is we don't play with God here. We don't call him Buddy Powell, the big man upstairs, or nothing else. He's God and God Almighty. And that's we reverence him. We reverence him, you know, with everything that we are and what everything that we have. So I'm going to ask you to take a posture of reverence with us as we go to the throne room of God. Father, we come before you today, giving you honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for waking us up another day. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your provision. We thank you, Father God, that you loved us so much that you sent your son. We thank you for your compassion, for your healing power. And all the things that we have no idea what you've done for us in our lives. So, Lord, we give you honor, glory, and praise. We bless your name. We will praise you continually with our mouth. We will worship you in spirit and in truth each and every day, Lord. Lord, I pray, Father, for our children. Lord, I commit them unto you to set them apart that they will serve you all the days of their life. Lord, we pray for the unborn. We ask, oh, Father God, that the unborn will be brought to life. For those who are contemplating murdering their children, Lord, we ask that you move upon their hearts and change their minds. We ask that you close down these murdering butcher shops, oh, Father God, that's butchering and killing our children. Move upon the hearts of those who are doing these injustices and let them come to the truth. We pray for those in the prisons. Meet them where they need to be met, Lord. Minister by your spirit to them. We pray, Father God, for the homeless and the hungry that you provide for them. The helpless, hurting, and hopeless. Lord, we know the only hope is in Jesus. For those who might be contemplating suicide, especially our military, Lord, stop them. Let them know that they're loved and they value and they have purpose. Lord, we pray for those who are being abused. That this very second, Lord, they will never be abused again as long as they live. And I pray, Father God, for the abusers. Stop them, Lord, that they'll never abuse anybody ever again. I pray for the universal church, that we will stand for righteousness and holiness, that we will proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that we will not bring the world into the church, that we will take the church into the world, that we will be an example of Jesus Christ to those who don't know him. I pray for our family and family members who don't know you yet. Lord, you're no respecter of persons. What you've done for us, Lord, we ask that you do for our family members and loved ones who don't know you yet, Lord. Bring them out of darkness into your marvelous light. Just have your way with us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And on this account, in Matthew 28, what I'm going to read to you is, this is not a story. This is a true account. You know, because a story is like Peter Pan and Mighty Mouse and others. You know, this is not a story. This is a true account. of what happened. Whether you believe it or not. Whether you believe it or not, this is truth. This is fact. At the end of the Sabbath, verse 1 of 28 chapter. At the end of the Sabbath, at its beginning at dawn toward the first day of the week. You know the first day of the week is today. You know that? Sunday is the first day of the week. And so what happened was, you know, yes, God established the Sabbath on the seventh day, the day of rest. But the Christians in the early church, what they did was on this day here, it started with this day here, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We started using this here as the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. Now, if you want to do the Sabbath on Saturday, that's fine with me. Or any other day, because it's the Lord's, it's resting what it is. But as the Christian community, we use the first day of the week as the Sabbath, which is called the Lord's Day. So it says that beginning at dawn toward the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was a woman who had seven demons in her. She had seven demons in her. And Jesus cast them out. And let me tell you something. And she followed Jesus every day of her life. Much is forgiven. He who is forgiven much loves much. Mary Magdalene loved Jesus. She was an example to her family and all of those who had been knowing her all her life as she was living a demonic life. When Jesus got a hold of her, when Jesus got a hold of her, wasn't no more demons. It was Jesus Christ and him alone that she was living for. And it says, and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. They wanted to go to the grave because they had spices. What they were going to do, see, they didn't have embalming like we do now. But what they would do, they would bring spices. And they would put spices in between the cloth that were bound to go around him so they could cut down the smell of decaying body and the flesh. So that's what they would do. That's why they were there. They saw Jesus down the cross. They heard him holler out, my God, why have you forsaken me? They felt that he was gone forever and they was going to embalm him. Or put spices on him. And behold, I love that. That word, you know what behold mean? To see. Behold, to see. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. And you know that word there it is? Behold, all things become new. Not say it, but see it. People need to see the Christ in us. People need to see the change in our lives. Amen? They need to see that because a lot of people were not walking to this church. A lot of people will not read this Bible, but they will see you. And if they see the change in you like they did Mary Magdalene, they'll say, you know what? This is something that's real. They're not just saying one thing and doing another. Let me say that again up in the balcony. They're not just saying one thing and doing another. Let me say that all down here. They're not just saying one thing and doing another. Nobody in here does it. Maybe some other churches down the street. Because we all love Jesus, don't we? We all do right, don't we? And y'all was quiet on that. We had one or two say, yeah, I know you. Don't let me start with you, Vera. And it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set up on it. You know, I had a picture and I was going to try to have it up here. It was when I was in Jerusalem one time. I was in Israel and I was at the Garden Tomb and I took a picture of me standing right by the entrance of the tomb. They have a stone there, you know, and that stone weighs approximately 2 tons. So, you know, there's no way that I can move that stone. There's no way that you can move that stone. I want to read something that one of our sisters in the church, she gave me a card here the other day, and she wrote on this here, and it said that I couldn't find a card with the word resurrection on it. So she gave me a birthday. No, it wasn't a birthday card. But anyway, it said, the stone has been rolled away, the stone of all of our sins that we can't roll away. Don't you know you can't roll away the stone of your sins? Only Jesus. And they are too heavy for us, and none of us can remove it. Only Jesus can. Do you know that? Only Jesus. You know, because so many of us, we got issues and things in our life that we've been trying and trying and trying and trying. Huh? I got to raise my hand. Throughout the years. Trying and trying and trying. I ain't going to do it no more. I'm going to start doing this more. And I've been trying and trying and trying and trying. And the Apostle Paul said, you know, the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things I do, I don't want to do. But I will tell you, there's an antidote for that trying. When I talk to people and they say, oh, Pastor, I've been trying to get to church. Either you do or you don't. You know, and then they come up with excuses. Well, I had eyebrow-itis. Y'all know what eyebrow-itis is? You know what it is, young man? Eyebrow-itis, you know what that is? Do you? No, you don't. Eyebrow-itis is an excuse. My eyebrow hurt, Pastor, that's why I couldn't come to church. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? That's the excuse that some people might use, but not in here. You know, some people say, well, I went to church. Well, what church you go to? Bedside Baptist. Methodist, you know, they come up with all kinds of excuses, but I'm glad everybody's here today. But anyway, let me get back to this here. And it says, and he rolled the stone away. His countenance was like lightning in his room, lightning, and his raiment white as snow. For the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said it to the women, fear not, ye. For I know that you seek. Remember that word seek. I know that you seek. In order for you to seek, you can't sit down and seek something. For those of you who are trying to find a job, you can't sit at home and seek a job. Now, I know they got the internet, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I'm old school. You know, you had to go knock on the door and ask the man, do you need some help? Because the man ain't going to come to your door and knock on your door and say, hey, can you come help me? No, you got to seek it. I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. I know that you're seeking him this morning. You're looking for him this morning. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do you know, did you see what time that they went to go seek him? It was begin at dawn toward the first day. Dawn. That's early. That's first thing they did. When they got up in the morning, they went to seek Jesus. But they went to seek him with the wrong attitude. They were going to seek him, the dead Jesus. They were going to put spices on him to embalm him. But all the time, the Mary Magdalene, all the other Marys and all the disciples, they was with him. He would tell them, I'm going to rise again on the third day. He told them that over and over and over again. They heard what he said, but evidently they didn't believe him. Because if they had believed him, they wouldn't come to try to put them spices on a dead body. Amen? If they had believed what he said, they would have been rejoicing. So many of us, we hear the word of God over and over and over again. How good God is and what he wants to do in our lives. But do we believe him? See, you can say I do, but your actions, our actions, say something else. Listen to what it said. And it said that he is not here. He's not here. Well, I know this is where they laid him. I was there when they took him off the cross. I was there when we carried him to the tomb and we put him in the tomb. What do you mean he's not here? Did somebody take him? What happened? Some of the accounts, you know, it talks about that. That somebody stole Jesus' body and they put guards up there so wouldn't nobody, you know, they say that wouldn't nobody steal his body or whatever. But you know, back then they had grave robbers. Do you know that? They had people that would go into the tombs and they would, especially from those who had, you know, was rich or whatever, to see if they could get something that was valuable. But anyway, there wasn't no grave robbers in here. He is not here. For he is what? He has risen. Let me say that again. Y'all, did y'all remember what I said at the beginning? He has risen. Oh, praise the Lord. As he said. As he said. He said that I would rise up on the third day. Yes, I'm going to die. I had to die for you. I had to shed my blood for you. I've been telling you over and over and over again that I'm going to rise again. But they come expecting a day of Jesus. And the angel said, let me tell you something. He ain't here. He's not dead. He has risen. As he said. As he said. Oh, nobody had ever done that before. Now, we had Lazarus and we had others who have been raised up, but they died again. You know, they died again. But when Jesus rose up, let me tell you something. He rose up for eternity. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got to worry about him in the tomb no more. We ain't got to worry about him dying no more. We ain't got to worry about them crucifying him no more. Because my Bible says he's sitting at the right hand of God. And you know what he's doing at the right hand of God? He's interceding for us. When the enemy goes to the accuser of the brethren, when the enemy goes to God and says, that tall man down there preaching in Watertown, New York, at that lighthouse on the square, you know some of the thoughts he had for some of his people. Praise the Lord, Don Foote. But and God will say, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, because when I look at that tall man down there, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. And there's nothing that I see but righteousness in that man there. Now, he's not perfect. He got issues. He got struggle like everybody else. But if any man be in Christ, I'm a new creation. Amen? If any woman be in Christ, she's a new creation. Amen? So, you know, yes, we're going to make mistakes and wrong choices. Absolutely, we are. But we don't do that over and over and over again, the same ones. Did you hear what I said? Yes, we're going to make wrong choices and bad decisions. Absolutely, we are. But we don't keep doing the same ones over and over and over again. If Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit is in you, he will convict you that you can't keep doing those things over and over and over again. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disrespect you. I didn't mean to call you out of your name. I didn't mean to put my hands on you. And they keep doing it over and over and over again. How sorry can you be? Huh? Come on now. See, because when we do stuff, boy, I want to come down here and hop. Because I feel good this morning. I feel good this morning. You see, when the Holy Spirit is within you, it will lead you into all truth and righteousness. It won't let you continue on doing the same thing over and over and over again. You know, you might say, oh, I'm a Christian. You might say, oh, I'm saved. But if you keep on living in sin over and over and over again, and there's no repentance, you see what I'm saying? There's no repentance. Repentance is when you turn your back on that what is not pleasing to God. You turn your back on that sinful lifestyle. And when you turn your back on that, you start walking toward Jesus again. And he's always there to open up his arms to receive you. Always. I don't care what you might have done. He's always there. When we turn away from that and turn back to God, he's always right there welcoming you back. Always. Like I say, I don't care what you've done in your life. And none of y'all have done half the stuff that I've done in mine. Trust me. But I know that my God loves me. I know that my God has accepted me. And let me tell you how I know that. Because that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is in me. He's in me. Like I say, I'm not perfect. I got issues and struggles. Ask my brother. But I know that God loves me. And he loves you too. Let me finish this up here. What was that? Anybody remember what was that? I told y'all we got issues up in here. And he says, verse 6. And he is not here. He is risen. For he said, come see the place where they lay. This is real good. He said, just don't believe what I say. Come see for yourself. You see. Don't just believe what I say. But seek the Lord for yourself. So you know that you know that you know that you know that he's alive, that he's real. You know, there were times in my life I didn't want to hear nothing about God, didn't want to hear nothing about Jesus. Nothing about him. Didn't believe it, wanted nothing about him. Until that day he got a hold of me. Whew. And see, once he apprehended me, I started apprehending him, you see. Once I felt the love of God in my life, I said, I've been looking for this all my life, but I've been looking for it in the wrong places. But once God got a hold of me, oh, I didn't have to look no further, because that was it right there. You know what that is? Period. Jesus Christ, period. Not Jesus Christ plus. Not Jesus Christ would add anything else to it. Jesus Christ, period. The buck stopped there at Jesus Christ. Amen? Because I know that I know that I know that Christ is alive. I know that he is risen. Because he has come into me and he has changed my life. He has changed my life. As I say, you know, I ain't perfect. But I love me some Jesus. I'm glad the kids ain't here because that's not good English. All right, the Miranda kids up there, I love me some Jesus. Now, don't repeat that because that's not good English. Little Isaac. But you hear what I'm saying? I love Jesus because I know he loved me. And this is what he said. And he says, he is not here. For he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly and told the disciples. And the disciples didn't believe him. But you know what? They ran to see for themselves. They ran to see for themselves. That's why you need to have an experience with God yourself. It's great sermons. It's great reading the Bible. All of that is necessary. But if you read the Bible and hear good sermons and you don't have an encounter with God yourself, there will always be a little doubt. You see what I'm saying? Always be a little doubt. Now, you know, because a lot of preachers and a lot of people who talk, they can make you feel real, real good. They can make the hair on the back of your head jump up. They can make you jump up and shout and run around and all that type of stuff there. That's that feel good. You know, that cotton candy. That candy stripe gospel. You know, of God wants to make you rich. God wants to make you this and God wants... He does. He wants us to be blessed. Absolutely, he does. But what he wants most of all is obedience. What he wants all most of all is to us to make a sacrifice to serve him with everything that we have. You know, we hear so much of this cotton candy gospel, make you feel good. And if I didn't know any better, I'd be in one of them churches, shouting, running around. Praise the Lord. You know, yes, I want to be prosperous. Yes, I want to be this. I will. Yeah. But you know what? I know the truth. And what I want to do is I want to be pleasing to God. That's what I want. And I know that's what you want, too, is to be pleasing to God. Because when we stand before him, and every one of us is going to stand before him, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I can't wait to that. I'm a holler when my time come. Yes, sir. Yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. Absolutely, he is. But see, I'm going to say it now before I die. But when we die, everybody, believers and unbelievers, there's so many out there that are on the fence or not believing. One day, trust me, they will. They will one day. But God wants me to tell you, he wants you to do it now while you're living. So when you do stand before him, you'll hear these words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's why we celebrated Good Friday this past Friday. It wasn't good that they beat him beyond recognition. It wasn't good that they stretched him high and nailed him to the cross and spit on him and he died. That wasn't good. But the good that came out of it is when we stand before God, well done, my, that word good. That's what Good Friday represented. Because he paid the price for our sins. Now, let's go to, let me see here. Let's go to John 10:10. John 10:10. Now, what I'm talking about here is that resurrection life. I'm talking about we will know that we know that we know that Christ lives within us because we're living that resurrection life as he resurrected. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Do you know the enemy is at each and every one of us who are in Christ? If you're not in Christ, he ain't bothering you because you're on his side. I was a great soldier for Satan. I was an officer, high-ranking officer for Satan. Oh, but when Jesus Christ got a hold of me, you see, I switched sides. You know, I'm in the army for Jesus now. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life. Jesus says, I am come that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly. That they may have life more abundantly. That more abundantly life is the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Not that you have life, but life more abundantly, you see. Now, when we get saved, you know, we're justified. Justification means just as if I have not sinned. How good is that? Justified. You know, and it says you're justified, you know, and then you're glorified. That's what we focus on. Just as if I haven't sinned and I'm glorified because I'm glorified and I'm going to heaven. But we're missing that middle part. Sanctified. Do you know what sanctification means? To be set apart for the works of God. Yes, you're justified, but are you living that sanctified life? Set apart for the works of God. Every one of us in here has a work that God has created you to do. Every one of us in here has giftings and talents, what God wants us to do here on this earth. And you can't do it without living that sanctified and resurrection life. You cannot do it. So what we need to do, church, is start living that resurrection life, that life more abundantly, because you're missing out if you're not. You're missing out if you're not. You know, I was telling the elder in there, because, you know, elders, we go in and we pray in my office every Sunday morning before service. I was telling the elder, I said, you know what? I said, the enemy's been at me like with both barrels. I said, my dad's been in the hospital. My mom's in the hospital now. You know, and I broke down, you know, because I love my mother and I love my father. I hate to see them in the condition that they're in. I said, but you know what, elder? God is in control. And you know what else, elder? All is well. And you know why all is well? Because that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is living inside of me. And I know it's going to be okay. I know it's going to be okay. I don't care what happens in your life. It's going to be okay. Because God is in control. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's three types of people in this room. Those of us who are in a trial right now, or in a storm of life right now. Those of you who have come out of a trial or storm, you know, you just come out of something and you're taking a, I'm so glad that's over. And there's others who are about to go into another trial or storm and just don't know it yet. When we brought my dad home Thursday, I was shouting, praise the Lord. Had no idea that we'd be taking my mother to the hospital yesterday. Had no idea. God did. But you know what? He's given me peace that surpasses all understanding. He's given me joy unspeakable, even in the midst of what's going on in my family. And that comes from that resurrection life. As I say, I'm not perfect and I'm not by no means. But I know God lives because he lives in me now. I would not have this attitude without the Spirit of God in me. You understand what I'm saying? And same with some of y'all too, because I know some of y'all have gone through tremendous trials where you lost children, you lost husbands and wives and family members. You got family, even yourself. You know, you've gone through all kind of medical problems and all kind of emotional problems and all kind of things that you've gone through. But look at you, you're still standing. Standing tall. And the reason you're standing tall is because that resurrection life is living inside of you, just like he did with Jesus. That's how I know that I know that I know that he is risen. That little weak. He is risen. Amen. Amen. Has he risen in you? That's the key. Has he risen in you? Once again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So many times, and I've done it too. You know, I've when I had issues in my life, you know, I would go to this and try to do this here, and I would go try to work it out over here, and I go try to go to this one and work it out over here. And then all of a sudden I say, well, let me pray now. Am I the only one ever done that? Probably. But I'm going to be honest, you know. I didn't seek him first. It was not until I exhausted everything. Then I say, oh, let me go pray now. And God was like, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting. I let you run around all crazy. And now that you're coming to me. And next time, Mr. Man, seek me first. And you won't have to go through all of that craziness that you went through. Amen. So for those of you who are going through trials, going through tribulations, whatever it might be, because like I say, if you're living, you're going to be in one or coming out of one or going into another. Seek him first. Don't seek him second or third. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? What things? The peace that surpasses all understanding, the joy unspeakable. By His stripes, we are healed. By His stripes, we are healed. Amen? Now, a lot of people take that scripture, you know, and yes, He's talking about physical healings, but it's more of a spiritual healing. You see what I'm saying? It's more of a spiritual healing. Yes, God can touch you and heal you. I've been healed myself. You know, I had some things going on with me because of the lifestyle that I lived BC before Christ. I had some things and they said, there's no cure for what you have. I say, you might not have a cure, but my God does. You know what I'm saying? You might not have a cure for it, but the God that I serve, He has a cure for it. Amen. And He touched my body. Let me tell you something. I don't have not one issue with that thing that they told me that there's no cure for it no more. I am completely healed. Completely healed. The doctor scratched the head. They scratched the head about it. I don't understand. I said, I tried to tell you. Didn't I tell you? That my God is a God. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's a way maker. Amen. That's what we're celebrating today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Has He resurrected in your life? Have you been living that life, abundant life? Or have you been sick and tired of being sick and tired? Have you been trying over and I've been trying to roll the stone away. I've been trying. The stone is too heavy. I need some help. The only help to roll that stone away is Jesus Christ, period. So if you're here this morning and you've been trying and trying and trying to the point where you're about ready to even give up, you can come today. You can come today and receive that resurrection life of Jesus Christ. And let Him pick up that heavy, whatever you're going through. The heaviness that you're going through. The trials that you're going through. The tribulations that you're going through. Well, you can walk out of here with joy unspeakable. That heaviness that you walked into, that uncertainty that you walked into, whatever it is that you walked in here with. He said, today can be your day that you can walk out of here free. That you can walk out of here in that resurrection life. That you can walk out of here with joy unspeakable. But you know what? Some will continue to try to push that stone. Some will continue to try to push it because you're sitting there saying, well, Pastor, I've been trying. The problem is you've been trying. Give God a try today. Give God. You know, this is what I tell the guys down at the jail. You know, I tell them, I said, you know, I know a lot of y'all don't come to the services, you know, just so you can hear the sermon. A lot of you just come out so you can get out of your cells. You know, and that's fine. You know, that's fine. But you're going to hear the word. I said, if you don't believe in God, I said, go back to your cell tonight when nobody's there, when they shut the door, when you're locked in. I said, look in the mirror and ask God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me and be open to receive it. I can't tell you. I heard from Brother Vinny down at the jail. He said, there's a revival going on down at the jail. There's a inmates are getting saved every week down there. The women down there, now please ladies, don't jump on me. We've had problem with the women down at jail more than we have any of the men. You know, because the men, they will beef, they will fight, and then after they go on the yard and shake hands and they okay. The women, y'all stay at it. Y'all stay at it. But let me tell you, the women have been getting saved and lives have been changed. You hear me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, down at the jail, the COs are talking about there's a difference in them. Praise the Lord. That's when you know it's real. Praise the Lord. God is good, church. He's real, church. He's real indeed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else sitting here this morning and the Spirit of God is unctioning you? I need that heaviness rolled off of me. I need to know that I know that I know when I take my last breath, when I stand before Jesus, and we all going to take our last breath and stand before Jesus one day. It might be today. Are you ready to meet Jesus? And if you're sitting there saying, I hope so, that ain't good enough. Maybe it's not good enough. You can come today and know for sure and receive that resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You can come today and get that. For those of you who are here today, let's get in and move on over here, and we're going to hold hands. Make a circle. And the reason I do this is because the Bible says if two or three are touch and agree upon anything on earth, it'll be done in heaven. Amen? So all this heaviness, all this stone, all this trying that y'all been doing and everything else, if you truly, truly, truly believe today, the stone will be rolled away. The stone will be rolled away. And Jesus will not be a dead Jesus. He'll be a risen Savior. If you're sitting out there today and for whatever reason you can't come up here, he'll meet you in your seat. He'll meet you wherever if you're true with him and real with him. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me if you're sitting out there. And you should be up here and you don't. You're not up here for whatever reason. Pray this prayer with us. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I'm confessing that I'm going through a lot of situations. My life have not been lived the way I should. Forgive me of this life of sin. I ask you, Father, to put within me that spirit, that resurrection spirit of Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That he died on the cross. He rose again. On this day over 2,000 years ago. He's seated in heaven. Next to you, Lord. Interceding for me. From this day forward. I will serve you. I will live in that resurrection life. I thank you, Lord. For this free gift of salvation. I accept it by faith. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen, 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 amen. Now, let me tell you something. The enemy is going to tell y'all that nothing happened, but he's a lie and there's no truth in it. If this has been real, let me tell you something. All that heaviness, all that stuff that you've been going through, God will give you what you need to walk in that resurrection life. Amen. I want to thank all of y'all for coming, for your new people. You know, we want to thank you. I know some of y'all said, we didn't come to hear that. We come to hear about the Easter Bunny. But we don't do the Easter Bunny here. We don't do that, you know. And if you notice, I've never used that word Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ here. We don't have no Easter egg hunts, you know, and none of the little bunny rabbits, as I told y'all before. You know, ain't nothing wrong with bunny rabbits. I like bunny rabbits. I do. I love the little bunny rabbits, especially when we got some onions and potatoes on them. I love the eggs. You know what I mean? I love the eggs. Put me some salt and pepper on the eggs. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. But we make this day the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we do here. Amen? Amen. And so if you come back again next week, guess what you're going to hear? Jesus Christ, period. Jesus Christ, you know, I've been told, you know, well, Pastor, I only got one message. Absolutely. Jesus Christ, period. That's all you need is Jesus Christ, period. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to thank all of y'all for coming. And Don't forget about what we got, the things that we got going on here. We got Tuesday night prayer meeting at 6 o'clock, Wednesday night Bible study. Friday morning, the Women of Worth at 10 o'clock. 1 o'clock, I'm sorry, 1 o'clock. And all kind of other stuff that's going on. So I want to thank all of y'all for coming. And we really appreciate you. You know, and God bless all of you. Father, we come before you today. Give me honor, glory, and praise once again. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Lord, we just pray, Father God, that this day as we heard your word, that we will walk in that newness of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. That we will not walk in heaviness anymore or not hope in you. So, Lord, we thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you all. Have a great day.